This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Welcome back to the program, Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We're the hosts of the show. If you want to reach out to us, 1-866-509-4545. Great way to do it by the phone. You can leave a message. You'll mention, hey, guys, it's okay to use this message on the air, and it's for Kelly and Company. We'd like to give a little shout-out to Jackie, who gave us a message earlier, Jackie Palog. And Jackie, if you could pass on hellos, too, to one of our former counselors at the W.R.S. McDonald School. Thank you for the greeting. That is awesome, and appreciate her saying hi to all of us over here. We'll let Margaret Weldon know as well, because she was there then. 1-866-509-4545. Give us a call and leave a message, feedback@AMI.ca if you want to do it via email, and of course on Twitter @AMI Audio. So we were talking about this banana in whatever rum you rolls it in, chocolate and multiple things, but it's funny how you can actually say this is really sweet, whether it's cake or cookies, and the problem is yet it could be no sweeter than something else somebody else has, but for whatever reason, that particular thing gets you. Chocolate cake is my example. I could eat chocolate cake, no problem. Birthday cake, regular birthday cake, people would have too sweet for me. And I don't understand it, because they're the same in equivalency. It's just, you know, in my mind, that's the way it is.
Maybe it's just your preference. So the lack of preference for the other one, you're like, it's because it's too sweet.
Let me file that away under the thought process.
Yes. In the meantime, while you mull over that one, we're going to talk to our veterinarian, Danielle Jeankind.
The human-animal bond plays such an important role in people's lives, and as a veterinarian, it's my privilege to help keep those bonds strong and healthy. I'm Dr. Danielle Jeankind, and welcome to Ask a Veterinarian.
When we take our pets to the veterinarian, we probably don't think about what it would be like to actually have a vet living in our house with us, what it might be like to be married to one or to have one for a parent. But today, Danielle, you asked your family this question because maybe you were a little curious too, you being the veterinarian. And we're going to hear what they had to say about living with you, your husband being married to you, and you having your kids having a mom as a veterinarian. So are we going to directly hear from your kids or your husband today?
Unfortunately, no. I tried really hard to convince at least one of my children to join us live on the air as a guest for the show, but they were too shy to put themselves out there on the radio. And my husband might have done it, but he's at work at this time, so that wasn't going to happen. So you'll just have to settle for me letting you know what their responses were when I asked them about living with a vet. And, you know, some of what they said even surprised me. Yeah, they really said it.
And I have to say, Danielle, I'm sure that you, wait for it, didn't vet any of the comments and responses?
Oh, that, you know, so you can rival my son for bad puns, Kelly.
Awesome.
Good one.
that's not bad. Sometimes I can come up with one of them or two. So that's pretty amazing. So since we're not going to get to hear from them, should we start with your husband and what he said it was like to be married to a vet?
Well, you know, when I asked him that question, you know, he kind of thought about it. And the first thing he said was, my wife speaks doctor, and that messes up watching any medical dramas on TV. And you know, I actually had to laugh at that because I can actually see how that could happen. You know, I mean, we usually can't watch a show like Grey's Anatomy or ER without me breaking out laughing at how often they actually manage to resuscitate people who go into cardiac arrest. They have a really high success rate. And to me, that just doesn't seem realistic. And, you know, the other time I roll my eyes is when we're watching some action or spy type show, you know, where the characters are trying to save their badly beaten colleagues who are dying of fill in the blank, gunshot wounds, poisoning, whatever. There's no doctor hospital in sight. And they're, you know, rubbing hand sanitizer on them and doing emergency surgery in the back of some car while they're racing away from bad guys. And I'm like, right, that's really And he's like, you just take all the fun right out of it.
Man, he must he'd hate the hanging out with the scientists that's, you know, watching the science fiction space movie saying, oh, you wouldn't hear that explosion in space. Remember that? I remember that all the time was said because all TV shows, well, we have to have the effect. Well, why do you have to have the explosion? No one would ever hear that.
It's hard to have an imagination with this if you're in the field already.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the other thing apparently that you have to get used to as the spouse of a vet, you know, is that you can't always make plans after work or they have to be altered. So I remember, you know, once I had graduated from vet school and I was working in my first job doing both large and small animals, my husband and I never managed to make it out to dinner. You know, inevitably I'd have to stay late to deal with an emergency whenever we had dinner reservations. So Murphy's Law definitely applied. So in my brain, I was thinking, you know, let's fix this lack of being able to spend quality time together after work. So I tried taking him on a farm call or two with me. And, you know, he brought up the memory of I handed him a urine test stick one time and I said, okay, listen, I'm going to try and get this cow to pee and I want you to hold the stick in the urine stream for me if she does, okay?
And I'm sure he said, I'd rather be Santa's helper.
That's right. That's right. Santa's helper would have been a much more fun job because he kind of gave me this look and he said, great, this is so much fun. Poor guy, you know, but we've been married for 21 years now, so I guess it couldn't have been all that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was in the early days, right? Nowadays, he'd just say no.
Yes, that's right. He'd be like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. See you later. It came in different vehicles. Okay, so if that's, you know, if we want to take a pause on the things that your husband said, those are great responses. How many kids do you have?
I have two, actually. A daughter who is 14 and a son who is now 18.
Oh, both teenagers. Nice.
Sometimes.
I can't wait for their responses.
I was just going to say, like, I know you're sitting here stirring. I know you are. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So did they say anything? Danielle, I know. I can't believe I'm asking this. Did the kids say anything that ever surprised you when it came to this topic?
Actually, yes. You know, both of them actually said that they felt that they grew up knowing a lot more about animal behavior than their friends did. And that actually surprised me a little because I don't ever remember talking to them specifically about animal behavior when they were little. I mean, you know, we always had pets in the house. We had fish at one time, and we've had a lot of cage pets like hamsters, rats, and guinea pigs. And of course, we've always had a cat in the house since my kids were born. And, you know, I suppose I must have been unconsciously translating for them what the pets were, quote unquote, saying as they grew up, and they figured the rest out on their own. And, you know, like most kids, they love to watch YouTube compilations of funny cat and dog videos, and I catch them at it a lot of the time. And, you know, some of the pets in those videos show significant behavior problems, and I know that I can't help but point them out when I see them. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's a really aggressive cat, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, you've done that on the show here, too.
Yes, for sure. And you know, another thing, sorry, Kelly,
I think that's the funniest thing because I'm certainly sure with their knowledge that they've gleaned from you, they at times in their little hanging out with their friends at school have been quite the knowledgeable. Well, let me tell you why that's going on. Oh, let's go see the son of the veterinarian. He'll know.
Well, and I wonder because my son thought that he had more extensive background in science than most other kids he knew at the same age when he went to school. And, you know, so I guess some of that must have rubbed off in how I talked to them when they were growing up. And I, you know, just distinctly remember my sister-in-law telling me after babysitting once that my very young son had insisted, it's a hippopotamus, auntie, not a hippo.
Wow.
That's awesome. Oh, and I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So what else surprised you?
Well, the last thing that surprised me was apparently I always smell like quote unquote vet soap to my kids. Now, I like to think that vet soap must be a clean, fresh smell, but I really can't quite decide if that's a compliment or not. Hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, they didn't say you smell like animals. That's true.
It could be worse. That would have been worse. Well,
yeah, because I'm sure they said that to some of their friends, you know, so-and-so always smells like his dogs, you know, or whatever, versus the soap.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to go on the list of things to think about. But what else did your kids say about having a vet for a mom?
Well, and some of these things didn't really surprise me. So, you know, they mentioned that we've had a lot of odd animals in the house, and they reminded me that this one time I brought home a wild baby squirrel from work. It had been brought in by a concerned citizen who had found an entire litter at the base of a tree, and this was the only one who had managed to survive that long. And so, you know, I had called a wildlife rehabilitator and arranged for them to take it. But the problem was that I had to drive it to the rehab facility and I couldn't get it there until the next day. So, of course, the rehab veterinarian had given me instructions for what to feed it and how much fluid to give it to rehydrate it. And that meant that I had to take it home and get up every 3 hours in the night to give it a bottle. And I mean, this poor little thing, it was so young that its little eyes weren't even open yet. And needless to say, you know, it came home with me for the night and my kids were ecstatic. Like, they were just like, wow, this is so great. And they still remember that squirrel, even though it was probably like 10 years ago or more now. Oh. Like, both of them still remember it. Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. When mom or, you know, wife become quite the hero to the family members, as much as, yeah, you may smell like that soap, but wow, so cool.
Yeah, there's pros and cons. Mm-hmm. But both kids also pointed out that the reality of having a vet for a mom is when your babysitter ditches you at the last minute and your mom can't find a replacement, you end up spending the day at the vet clinic. So, I mean, both of my kids remember washing exam tables in between patients. They got to look at blood smears and ear mites under the microscope, and they got the chance to watch surgery through a glass window. My son didn't want to see it, but my daughter thought it was great, which was actually kind of funny.
And they went home smelling of soap. That soap.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
Not just me that day.
That's a good one. I really like that.
No, they had a good time until they got bored anyway. And then I was glad I had brought a portable DVD player and some books or something. Nice. And another thing they pointed out to me was how different it was for us when one of our own pets was sick, you know, because all they had to do was, you know, ask mom to fix it. And my son also pointed out that he knows of no other family who turned their broom closet into a temporary ICU cage when their cat got really sick. And he distinctly remembers driving back from the vet clinic with our cat hooked up to a fluid bag, which was hanging from the ceiling of the car in the back seat. And his job was to count the number of drops per second coming out of the bag all the way home and alert me if the fluids were going too fast or if they stopped so I could pull over.
Wow. But that's like being part of a TV show. Right.
Yeah.
And something like, why, like, you know, guys, we've got to drive careful. We've got to do what we can do. Whoa. That's so cool to be part of something like that. And then to go back and tell that story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he distinctly remembers that. And he said, I was so worried that I was going to do it wrong. And I'm like, you'll be fine.
Oh, man.
Well, it really sounds to me like you put everybody to work, Danielle. It's a team effort being part of a veterinarian's life. Family.
Well, sometimes that's all you can do. But you know what? Every family's a team effort, you know?
Yeah.
It's just which kind of stuff you choose to do, I guess. I don't know.
I know. But it sounds really lovely. And thanks for bringing this to us, for your family's cooperation and putting the segment together, because it was really a lot of fascinating stuff. And next week, we're going to talk about cat communication 101, or cat talk for dummies. So looking forward to that one, too.
Me too. All right. See you later.
Danielle Jeanquin, she joins us for Ask a Veterinarian on Tuesdays.
I wonder if they're going to be later on when they get home. Okay, so your segment went okay. When do we get paid? For helping put it together. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Next up in our nutrition segment, Julia Karanchis talks to us about staying hydrated without the added sugar in our drinks. She'll be here after this break. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.